Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello and welcome to The Hand Cell, where interesting people tell us about books they think that we should read. I'm Jen Northington, coming to you from Book Riot, and today's guest is Danielle Prescott. Welcome, Danielle.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Yeah, we're so excited. So Danielle, you are an author now. Your memoir, Token Black Girl, is coming out in October. It'll be out by the time people hear this. So we're recording in advance, but it will be available when this airs. And you are also a veteran of the beauty and fashion industry. You were the style director for BET.com, and now you have your own consulting agency. So it sounds like you have a lot of things going on.
I do. I have a lot of things going on.
Will you tell our audience a little bit about yourself as a reader as well as an author?
Oh, sure. Well, I have always been a reader. I love books so much, and I feel so lucky that I wrote one. I can't even believe it. because I never really thought, I guess, that I had anything meaningful to say. And so I was convinced that, only people who have suffered a great deal deserve to write a memoir. And so I have, I'm a person who reads every single night before I go to sleep. I take many books on vacation. I spend a lot of time with books, and I always have. Since I was a little girl, I think that is a very consistent part of my personality, that I just have always loved reading and interacting with books.
Well, you're in the right place, and I mean, same. So I'm really excited to talk to you about these great books that you've picked, as well as your book. Before we dive into that, let's take a quick sponsor break. All right. So you have picked a mix of fiction and nonfiction. What was going through your head when you were trying to narrow down which titles you wanted to talk about?
Well, I always try to read from a wide breadth of authors, but I primarily read books by women and for women, I guess. And that also covers age lines and racial lines. So I wanted to pick a nice mix of authors that were people of color, and also books that are geared more towards a female audience.
Nice. Well, let's get right into it. Your first pick is a fiction pick. It's Counterfeit by Kirsten Chen, which I have been hearing so much about, but have not read yet. So what initially drew you to this book?
Honestly, I like fiction that is about worlds that are just a little bit, I guess, out of touch. I love reading, things like Big Little Lies. I love real estate pornography. I like descriptions. I love out of touch people, where their problems are so magnified, the stakes are quite low. But in this case, the book is about a woman who is a Stanford graduate, went to law school, hates her job, but she did all the right things. She married a smart, handsome doctor, but their marriage is not, all it's cracked up to be. She's a very difficult toddler. She ends up quitting her law firm job to be a full-time mom. And she's just so frustrated with her life. And I just find it to be so, so interesting. And then, of course, there is the element that they are, they have this whole operation that is based on producing counterfeit designer handbags in China. So she and her freshman year roommate from Stanford, who is a Chinese immigrant, the woman in the book is Chinese American. So I also like the tension between, you know, having someone who is American. She's a first generation American, so she has ancestral ties to China, and then the contrast of someone who is like natively from China and coming to America. It's very, very good.
That's awesome. Is there a particular type of reader, like if you were thinking about like your friends, like which friends, like what kind of readers would you recommend this book for?
I would recommend this book for my overachieving friends. I think there's I think there's a thread in here about, you know, always doing the thing that you think is expected of you because you have been like working so hard for, you know, to achieve something, and like what that pressure feels like, and also like how that pressure can sometimes influence your behavior to do things that are morally questionable. So there's like a cheating scandal, like whether or not, you know, there's also this kind of discussion of like whether or not like the game is rigged. Like is how much of like how we think about wealth is really dictated by our perceptions of people. And so why is the Chinese American girl more accepted than the mainland Chinese immigrant girl? And so what can that American woman do that the Chinese woman cannot do? And like, how does that affect the relationship? So I think, yeah, anyone who has been in, you know, who occupies like several identities at once, I think this would be interesting too. And of course, like, yeah, if you like handbags, if you like luxury goods, this is also probably for you.
Awesome. I do love, I mean, a lot of times they're like rich people problems books, right? Like you said, like the problems are super zoomed in, the stakes are very low. I think it's very soothing in a weird way.
I love it. That's like the same reason I watch, you know, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Like, right. I'm like, last week there was an episode where they were like raising money for a charity that was called Homeless Not Toothless. So they were literally being like, we want to make sure these people have perfect smiles. And I'm like, not homes? But that only for people who are so out of touch. And I'm like, it's something just very nice about it being like, yep, they're not affected at all.
Right. Okay. Right. It's like a break from actual problems that need solving in a way. Yeah, slash. Yeah. Slash. It's also nice to like, I don't know, there's some Schadenfreude there, right? Like you get to feel superior to these people who are like so out of touch, as you said.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But also I find them very relatable in certain ways. And so it's a mix. It's a mix for me.
Yeah.
All right. Awesome. And then so your next pick is a book that I love as well. Yay. So I'm so excited to get into this. This is nonfiction. Mm-hmm. It's Come As You Are by Emily Nagoski. How did you find this book?
I don't even remember how I found this book. I think maybe it was on, you know, a bestseller list somewhere. And I was just like, yeah, that seems interesting. and I didn't really know what to expect from it, but it actually like defied all of my expectations. Like I was so surprised by like the way that she approached doing the research, that there were so many personal stories. So just to catch everybody up, the book is about sex and learning to separate like what has been kind of prescribed to us by like the media and the patriarchy and all like religion, all of these like kind of elements at play that help to define like how we think about sex and how we think about our own bodies and pleasure. And so I love this book. I thought it was a really transformative experience. I recommend it to everyone. I think everyone should read this book, but especially, you know, heterosexual people, like people who are women having sex with men or men having sex with women, because I think it can be really helpful.
Yeah, I was so astonished in particular when I read this book about how she dove into how stress affects our sex lives, right? And I think that's something that all of us know is true, but the way that she breaks it down is so useful. And I think can help a lot take the pressure off, right? Like there's really lovely stuff in here about how to ID your stress responses and work with them in ways that then free you up to have like an emotional and physical relationship with your partner.
And I also think that pointing out the things at work that shape how we think about our bodies, how we think about sex, and how we think about each other is also really important. Because again, like these are things that we know, that like pornography is not necessarily a realistic depiction of like how people have sex, right? But it's like, it needs to be stated like why those devices work so effectively and like how they are working on us and like why we need to like reject them. So it brought me like a lot of comfort, because I'm like, I felt like I was walking around like my whole life being like, I'm so weird. Like, why don't I just like have fun like my friends? And I'm like, no. After reading this book, I'm like, you're not weird. There's nothing wrong with you.
Right.
It's that like the expectations, like the cultural expectations of like that, yes, as a modern woman, I should just be like, yeah, like sex is totally fine. And like, yeah, just, like, do it on a Wednesday, no big with a stranger, like no big deal. And it's like, no, like my anxiety is like going haywire. But I didn't really feel like there was like a lot of space to like have those feelings, because you know, the perception of like the evolved, like modern woman is one who is sex positive and just like has ownership of her own body and does all these things. And I'm like, oh, that's not me. And that's okay.
Right. And it's, I think another thing I loved about it is how practical it is. Like it helps you break down like your own experiences and gives you like exercises and, you know, there's example like scenarios and case studies in there. Like I think it's so accessible, and the research is all there too, but it's not a textbook, right? Like it's very approachable. Yeah, I love this book. And actually, so I don't know if you know this, but Emily Nagoski and her sister Amelia Nagoski wrote a book called Burnout that is all about how stress lives in our bodies and how we can release it. And that is another book I highly recommend. So
yes.
Yeah. Super, super useful. A must read. And I think you're right. I think especially if you're in a heterosexual relationship, but I really do think there's a lot in here that anybody could, could benefit from. Yeah. It's good stuff. All right. Well, let's take another quick sponsor break, and then we will get into some more books. All right. Now we get to talk about your book. Very exciting. I'm reading it now. I'm still early. Great. I'm in like chapter two. So, you know, have not finished yet.
Okay.
But will you? So let's start with the elevator pitch. What's your elevator pitch for your memoir?
Sure. So, my book is a memoir that is also narrative nonfiction, because I wanted to localize like my own personal experiences with what was going on in the wider media landscape at the time. So I am now 34 and I came of age, you know, in the new millennium in the early 2000s. So it is important for me to make sure that what was going on around me is also communicated. Because what I set out to do with this book was to basically prove to myself that I wasn't crazy. I was like, and there's a way in which, you know, if you are a person of color that primarily exists in white spaces, that when things happen that are racialized incidents, people make you feel like having an emotional response is an overreaction. So saying like, oh, that was just a joke, or this person didn't mean it, or they're probably having a bad day, like you shouldn't think about that. And I'm like, so over my entire life, I'm like witnessing racial incidents happen and watching them be minimized. And so I was like, what is the collective effect of that on an individual and also on the wider public? And so that is really what I set out to do when I wrote this book. And I hope that that was achieved. So I have stuff about me, my token Black girl experience, but also stories about Serena Williams and Whitney Houston and Kerry Washington and, you know, women who are older than me or my same exact age, who have been made to be a token at their own expense, and like how that affected them in different ways.
I think, you know, books like this and this book in particular is going to be so important for so many readers. It's really, you know, the small bit I've read, I love how you immediately dive in to the media landscape, especially because, you know, we are all so shaped by our media diets, especially as children. And it's so clear from the jump how familiar you are both with the media landscape as it exists as, like, you know, a system, right? And what that system is accomplishing, whether or not we like it. And then how you and your classmates were impacted by it. So yeah, I think this is, you know, like I said, going to be important for a lot of people. You said at the top that you thought that you would never have anything to write about because you, like, didn't have, you know, enough maybe like trauma in your past. What changed your mind about that?
Yeah, I think it's so funny. Like, I really was like, oh, no one will read a book that I write. And I think that for a long time, it's because of the way that things are published or who gets to be published. It's that we want to maximize, I guess, a emotional response from the audience. So I, in many ways, occupy a very privileged identity and also a very marginalized identity. And I had never really seen space for, like, having both exist. So I was like, I don't think anyone will read this. I mean, it's hard for me to, like, even write about my childhood because I'm like, I have two parents that love me. They're still married. We always had a home. We always had food. Yeah. We went on vacations. I always had toys. I had a dog that I loved. Like, you know, so people would be like, well, what's sad about this? Like, what's remarkable about this? Cause I'm like, yes, in a lot of ways, my childhood looks just like yours or just like someone's on television. But, and I also feel like I went to the kind of schools where people would always say, like, you're so lucky to be here. This is an amazing opportunity. Of course, I have gone to some of the best schools in this country, but that never protected me from racism. Like, how much money you have actually never protects you from racism. You know, so you can look at, like, how the Obama family was treated when they were in the White House. Like, Barack Obama got to the highest office in this land, and it did not necessitate any more respect from people who were racist than had he not been there. You know what I mean? So I was like,
yeah,
it was very interesting to kind of embark on this journey because I was like, well, I can't complain. And it's not necessarily complaining. Like, I do recognize the ways that I am so lucky to have occupied these spaces and that it benefited me greatly. However, I don't want people younger than me. I think that, you know, when you ascend to a certain position in life, like, it is your kind of duty to make that pathway easier for others. And I'm like, I don't want girls younger than me. Like, I graduated high school 15 years ago. I doubt that a lot in my current high school has changed from when I was there. And I want to be part of that change because a big part of me writing this book as well was understanding the ways that I became complicit in spreading the message of white supremacy because I also became a member of the media, the same media that was harmful to me. I, like, also then joined in.
Which, you know, that's a survival mechanism, right? Like that's how we try to survive. I think you talk about that even in just the two chapters that I've read. And you also, you know, you said this is true. Obviously, money doesn't protect you. And, you know, you point out Black excellence also doesn't protect you from white supremacy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that's also, you know, a hard thing to talk about, but an important thing to talk about. So yeah, from where I'm sitting, you know, as obviously a white woman, I think this book, and you know, having conversations with lots of readers from all different places, you know, books, right, they can be a window or a mirror, depending on who is looking at them.
Totally.
And I absolutely can see how this book will be both of those things for lots of different readers. So I'm glad you decided that you had things worthwhile to say. That's great.
I am glad too.
Yeah. Was it, I know that this is the question everybody always wonders about, but I feel like every author has a different approach to it. So obviously, you know, you're very honest about what it was like growing up in your family. Did you worry about how, you know, your family would view your memoir and what stories you were telling and how they would feel about that?
Yeah, at certain points I definitely did, because it's my choice to live my life very publicly, and it's not necessarily my family's choice.
Sure.
So I have been someone who is very online for like years now. Mm. And to the point where my parents were kind of like, please stop posting about like where we live and the place to go, because my mom got recognized in the grocery store. Oh, no. Yeah. They were, this person was like, are you Danielle and Gabby's mom? And my parents are not on Instagram or anything. So they
right.
On Facebook, they think it's very weird, so they don't know. So I did take great pains to kind of protect like them. Like I'm like, I don't like out the college they met at. I
right.
don't. I don't say like the town they live in. I don't do any of that stuff, just because it's like, yeah, there's a lot of people that are going to read this, and they did not ask for that. I asked for it.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. All right. Well, I'm excited for this book to be out in the world and for people to read it. And I wish you a good time of it. Obviously, you know, publishing is a very weird journey, I think, in a lot of ways, and can be very difficult, but hopefully the fun parts are super fun.
Yeah. I've had a great time so far. Good. I mean, it's been weird because I did all of this in the pandemic. So I had not met.
Yes.
I met my editor for the first time. And we've been speaking for over 2 years. And like I met her for the first time a few weeks ago. Like there's so many people that have worked on this book that I have never even encountered in person at all.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, honestly, that's not that different from non-pandemic times in a lot of
really?
Cases.
Really? Oh
well,
my God.
If you don't live in New York, you might never meet any of your, you know, production team or your editors. If you're geographically, or you can get out here, sometimes you meet them, but sometimes you don't.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, let's go on to your third book pick, because this one I had not heard about, and now I'm super excited about it. So this is a memoir. It's Tanqueray by Stephanie Johnson. It looks like with Brandon Stanton, who we know as Humans of New York, right?
Yeah.
So tell us about this one.
So I guess maybe like a little over 2 years ago, on Humans of New York, there was this viral story about this woman named Stephanie. And I think was a series of like 16 posts, and it ended up being like 12,000 words.
Mm.
But they expanded into this book, which is her memoir. Stephanie is like currently, I believe she's like 76 or 77, still lives in New York, still lives in Chelsea. And her book is fascinating. In many ways, she was also a token Black girl. She was born and raised in Albany, but her mother had a job working for like the state government. And so her mom had a lot of money and sent Stephanie to white schools, and they lived in a white neighborhood. And so she was extremely lonely. And then she begged to go to a Black school for high school. So she ended up in a Black school and then ended up getting pregnant when she was in high school. And she thought that she was going to marry the guy, but it turns out the guy was already married.
And oh, so
he left her alone and she didn't know what to do. So she was like, I'm not going back to live with my mom. So she tried to steal her stuff out of her mom's house and her mom had her arrested and sent her to jail.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
And what then, a story.
It doesn't, that hasn't even gone to the good part yet. Then the mom was sleeping with the parole officer. So they wanted to keep her in jail forever. I know. Crazy. Anyway, she gets out of jail and she moves to New York and she has several different jobs and careers after that. She is like one, it's a kind of one of those stories that is like old New York, like this kind of like way you can just move there and just reinvent yourself is, I feel like, so vintage, like, you know, it's almost mythical. Like it's not really possible anymore. But she definitely did that. And so then she falls in love and falls out of love and she meets all this like kooky cast of characters. Like if you like The Deuce, that show on HBO, this is very much that same time period. If you like Pose, she gets into like how she went to the balls and she can meet all these people and she gets into the AIDS crisis and how it just took away a lot of her friends and work colleagues. So it's a very romantic old look at like what life in New York City used to be like, and also just like her struggles and triumphs. And I think it's really beautiful and funny. She's hilarious.
That's fantastic.
You know, when you get older and you can just like say whatever you want, like that's what it's like. It's totally unfiltered.
Amazing. Amazing. Yeah. And you mentioned to me right before we started recording that you wish this was longer.
I did wish it was longer. I had so many follow-up questions, but I think that they were under some time constraints. Stephanie like was really sick. She required surgery. She was wheelchair bound. There was a lot of I think health limitations preventing them from really like making it like, you know, a 90 something thousand word memoir. Very, very good.
All right. Noted. That sounds amazing. Also, I can't wait to see those photos. That's fantastic. Well, these are such great picks. This has been so much fun. Thank you again for joining us.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So where should people look for you on the interwebs?
You can find me on TikTok. That's where I'm mostly present right now. It's Danielle Prescod, Prescod 7. And I'm on Instagram at Danielle Prescod and Twitter the same.
All right. Great. Well, thank you all at home for listening. Pretty please, as always, send us your feedback at getbooked@bookriot.com. We super appreciate everybody who has already sent some in. Love you all. For more recommendations, you can always get those at bookriot.com. You can find our other podcasts at bookriot.com/listen. And also, as always, please leave us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podchaser, wherever. It helps people to find this show and we super appreciate it. And you can find me on Twitter and Tumblr as Jen IRL, JENNIRL, or on Instagram as I am Jen IRL. And we will talk to you next time.